This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
A tight one here at Gillette Stadium as the Patriots edge the New York Jets 29-26. In overtime, and how close were the Patriots to dropping below 500 this late in the season for the first time since 2002 when they also started 3-4? Just a buck 37. That's how close they were to falling to 3-4. Devin McCourty fumbles a kickoff. The Jets recover, hit on a 43-yard field goal from Nick Folk to go up by 3, 26-23, just over 2 minutes left. That was right before the two-minute warning. Patriots get the ball back. Tom Brady, on that drive, finds Rob Gronkowski for 15 yards. Next play, Rob Gronkowski for 12 more, then 20 to Danny Woodhead. I thought he threw a pass right on the money to Brandon Lloyd. And I'm not going to say Lloyd dropped it, but a catchable ball that would have been the game-winning touchdown right there.
Lloyd!
Exactly, Kevin. Then the Patriots go across the middle to Danny Woodhead for 7 more yards. They call their final timeout. Steven Gostkowski, who had missed a big field goal earlier this year against the Arizona Cardinals, hits on a 43-yarder. He forces overtime. He hit a 48-yarder in overtime, and the Patriots defense gets a stop that they needed. Now, look, it wasn't your typical back-against-the-wall situation for the defense, but I think Patriots fans will take it. I tweeted this out earlier in the day. Last week in Seattle, it was Russell Wilson down 6 points with 2:38 left. This week, it was Mark Sanchez down 3 with 4-plus remaining. He tied the game. Then they got that gift fumble by Devin McCourty. But in overtime, your defense able to hold as Jermaine Cunningham and Rob Gronkowski make a play for this Patriots defense. Patriots come up with the win, 29-26, over the New York Jets. They are now all alone in first place in the division, as, of course, the Jets lose head-to-head. The Bills also lose earlier in the day, similar heartbreaking fashion for the Buffalo Bills. Both those clubs are 3-4. Miami was on the bye week. Welcome into the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. A lot to talk about on this one, and we'll talk to you throughout the course of the program. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. You will hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up in about a half an hour. Also, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady about an hour from now. So get in touch here with the Patriots post game show, and we'll kick things off with the good, the bad, and the injured. At the top of the list for the Patriots tonight has to be that final play for the defense. Jermaine Cunningham and Rob Ninkovich getting a big stop for the Pats. They split the sack. Cunningham poked the ball out. Ninkovich falls on top of it, and the Patriots escape with a 3-point win. So I thought they made a nice push, the defense making a play. How many times do we ask for the defense to do that? And they did that. So I think that play has to be atop the list. Also, Rob Gronkowski with what I thought was a huge effort in this one. Gronkowski, the 10th two-touchdown game of his career, the first of the season, 6 catches, 78 yards. Those 6 catches came on 9 targets, by the way, so certainly not perfect. But more importantly, the 2 touchdowns. And the Patriots, a week after being awful in the red zone against Seattle, were 2-for-2 in the red zone. I think Rob Gronkowski was a huge part of that. And also on the good list, we talked about him off the top, Steven Gostkowski. You know, if we hammer him for missed kicks, we're going to put him on the good list for a game-tying field goal under pressure from 43 yards out, and then the go-ahead field goal from 48 yards out. Neither of those are gimmies. And good for Gostkowski getting back on the good list after being on the bad side after the Week 2 loss against Arizona. On the bad side for the Patriots, he's been there quite a bit. And I hear from Patriots fans every week about whether or not I should include him and single him out from the secondary. Well, it's not for how he played defensively. Devin McCourty shifted to safety. I thought there were still problems there, but the reason he's on the bad list tonight, that fumble at the end of regulation right before the 2-minute warning? Absolutely, 1,000% cannot happen. All right? The Jets pull within 3 points after, the Jets have just tied the game, after a Nick Folk 43-yard field goal. What do the Patriots do? They get the ball back with 2 minutes. This is after the offense, by the way. Can't close anything out on the previous drive. So the Jets are able to go 6 plays, 40 yards for a game-tying field goal, and Brady doesn't even get a chance. And I know Patriots fans' confidence isn't very high in him right now, and maybe it shouldn't be. After another chance with the game on the line for the offense to put this thing away, they didn't. And we'll get to that later here on the Patriots postgame show, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio at patriots.com. But that fumble can't happen by Devin McCourty. Patriots stuck with him later in the game on another kick return, which surprised me. And maybe it's some goodwill that he built up with his 104-yard kickoff return earlier in the game, which was huge at the time. But you can't have a fumble like that with the game on the line when you need to at least keep possession. He was on the bad list for me tonight, singularly for that fumble. Also on the bad list, I thought Brandon Lloyd was atrocious. One catch, 6 yards. That one catch was on 8 targets, by the way. Clearly, he and Brady aren't on the same page. And I think it's more Lloyd. Lloyd had at least 2 drops early in the game, one of which would have been a 50-yard play. The other was on the Patriots' first drive. And he also had that one at the end of regulation, which I don't think is a drop, but I put it more on Lloyd than I did on Brady. The throw was right there. And he also had an offensive pass interference call. So I thought Lloyd had a rough, rough day today. And I think the Patriots offense in general for that first half didn't have the killer instinct you're looking for. They were up 16-10 at halftime, but they really could have put that thing out of reach. The McCourty kickoff return was a spark. The Patriots also took over after a safety and didn't do anything with it. And they had that Gronkowski touchdown earlier. They're up 14-7. You get a safety to make it 16-7, and you can't do anything with it. I didn't think the killer instinct was there from the offense in that first half. And as for the injured, Jerod Mayo, elbow injury is what we're presuming it to be. He came out with a brace on his elbow, or a wrap, rather, on his elbow for the second half. Did play through it, but that's something that bears monitoring. Dan Connolly started the game, wasn't out there for pregame warm-up, something we talked about on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame show. Started the game, had to leave with an illness. He was not feeling well. He did not return. And also, two Patriots who didn't return, Rozai Dowling with a quad injury and Trevor Scott with a hamstring injury. And I think the Dowling one is a bit unfortunate because I think he played okay in this one. You know, he had one penalty and another one declined, but I think he showed that he can at least be out there. He was competitive like Dennard has been competitive. And by the way, he didn't make my good list, but Alfonso Dennard, another decent day. First career interception, though it was on an awfully, terribly thrown ball by Mark Sanchez. Just a completely ill-advised decision. But still, first career interception. I don't know. I thought Dowling looked like he belonged. And, you know, McCourty wasn't as bad at corner as he was at safety. The Patriots gave up some big plays today in that they were over 20 yards, but there were no 40, 50-yard plays out there for the Pats. And right now you got to take progress with that Patriots defense. They got the stand they needed in overtime to beat the Jets 29-26 in Foxborough. They take over first place in the AFC East and move to 4-3. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Let's kick things off with Bill in Pennsylvania. You're first up on the postgame show. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Doing well.
Well, first, I'm just going to say this is a very good win, and I thought it was a good game, but we were 1 or 2 plays away from being 3-4. And I thought the defense overall looked pretty bad because we gave up 20, 30-yard like pass plays consecutively, and that was just hard to watch.
Yeah, I think Curley really gave them problems, as you could see as the game wore on, and really right from the start of the game. You know, Jeremy Curley was able to find gaps in that Patriots defense. Look at the first Jets drive of the game, 23-yard catch behind Mayo and in front of Tavon Wilson. Then a 27-yard catch with Kyle Arrington in coverage on him. So back-to-back plays, or nearly back-to-back plays, and 50 yards right there from Curley, and it didn't really stop. I also thought Keller gave them problems, and you have to remember who was on the other side. Like, this is sort of how I felt after the game against Seattle. You know, it was Russell Wilson who came back against you. In this case, it's Mark Sanchez who threw for 328, but I just feel like the defense seemed a little more competitive, especially in the secondary this week, than they did last week against Seattle. Like, it just seemed like Wilson was throwing it up for grabs, and his receivers would make plays. And this week, I don't know, I think they limited the big plays to not 40 and 50 yard plays, just to 20 yard plays, which again, is some progress. So there's still work back there, which I'm sure you'd agree with, Bill.
Yes, and one more point. The one play that you said that Alphonso Dennard got his interception, if Sanchez hadn't thrown that ball like so terribly, it would have been an easy touchdown.
Well, it's true. It's true. Stephen Hill was behind the Patriots defense, and it's a good point, Bill. Look, I thought Dennard probably had the worst game, even though he had the interception, probably had the worst game that he's had so far. And I think he played pretty well in his first two games back, but I'll tell you, he showed up on my list a few different times for plays that were missed out there. You know, he was the guy who broke up that pass that tipped up in the air to Jeremy Curley, which is an example of a good play by Alphonso Dennard. But, you know, I thought he was beat a few different times out there on the football field today. And I thought, in general, they attacked him a lot less than they attacked Arrington. But I still think Dennard had guys open, or running open, rather, more in this one than he has in the previous two games. That said, I've still seen more promising things out of Alphonso Dennard than I have out of anyone else in the secondary. And by the way, I said it a couple moments ago, I think Rasai Dowling at least showed that he can play out there. He can be on the field. Doesn't have to take Kyle Arrington's spot if McCourty's going to stay at safety while Chung and Gregory are out. But I don't know. I think Dowling has worked his way into the mix. I thought he played okay today. 508-298-0398, rather. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Bill writes in, Adam, the Patriots won, and that's good, but I'm scared. It's the other side of the coin, right? 2 weeks in a row now, a mediocre at best and probably poor quarterback has led his team to at least a game-tying score. Russell Wilson gave you a go-ahead score, or gave Seattle a go-ahead score last week at home. And that was tough to watch. Tavon Wilson and Nate Ebner on the back end can't cover Sidney Rice. And by the way, Tavon Wilson, just food for thought here, on that Dustin Keller touchdown, was also the man in coverage. Now, I thought it was pretty tight coverage. But he's the guy, again, in a crucial situation getting beat. So, look, 2 weeks in a row now, Mark Sanchez put his team in front, though some of that was gift-wrapped by the McCourty fumble, but he at least led his team on a game-tying drive. Six plays, 40 yards to tie that thing up. Remember, after the McCourty fumble, Sanchez actually almost screwed the game up. That sack he took, the Dante Hightower sack, was a terrible, terrible decision by the quarterback with the game potentially on the line and a chance to go in front. You know, I thought that was poor decision-making by Mark Sanchez, and that's the guy who threw for over 300 yards against you today. So, two games in a row against mediocre to poor quarterbacks. One tied the game, the other beat you last week. So, I can understand emailers like Bill saying, yep, they won, yep, they're 4-3, but you can't feel good about this. And by the way, everyone who was parroting this coming into the game, what was it, Kevin? Three losses by a combined 4 points coming into today? Three losses, 4 points. I even heard Robert Kraft throw that one out during the week on Michael Kay's show or whatever it was. I think you can toss that out the window, right? This is one of those where if you're going to count, the three losses by 4 points, then maybe you could chuck this one up the other way. And maybe this is, the luck balancing out. If you were blaming it on bad luck before, maybe you can blame this one and chalk it up in the good luck category. Before we hit the phones, 508-298-0398. One more email here. Michael writes in from Sweden. Adam, I'm very relieved and happy after the final whistle blew. But again, why the heck can't we close up games? On my bad list, coaching and the secondary. Again, many of Sanchez's passes, we were lucky it was Sanchez who threw them so that they went to the ground. But wide open receivers. And he's right, and so is the caller. If Sanchez hits his man, then it's not a pick by Dennard. It's a touchdown for Stephen Hill. So they did have the benefit of who was playing quarterback out there. I just think the secondary has played worse, which maybe tells you about the secondary over the last year and a half, tells you how bad they've played for different stretches, but I think they've played worse. So I had other things singled out on my bad list today. That McCourty fumble was brutal. I thought Brandon Lloyd was brutal. And the Patriots left something out there in the first half. By the way, for the second straight week, you want to talk about a bad quarterback coming down and going in front or at least tying the game for two straight weeks? How about the Patriots missing opportunities in the first half? I know a lot of you were upset about the intentional grounding on Brady at the end of the first half of that Seattle game. The decision by Belichick, I hated the fourth and one on the drive before that more, but either way, that was points left out there in the first half. I thought they did the same thing in the first half in this one. Maybe not as blatant, maybe not as blatant of a second guess, but they left points out there. They could have put the Jets away in the first half, and they let them hang around. So I thought that was an issue for the Patriots here tonight. 508-298-0398. Let's hit the phones. Ken's in California, and you're next up on Patriots.com. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, Adam, going to hit my list real quick here and leave it to you guys. First and foremost, like I've been saying the whole time, secondary, I mean, we just need work. I mean, bottom line, that's it. Lack of, it just looks to me, the lack of the finish-off method or the put-away method that we used to just be known for, you know, in 07 and in recent years is just gone. And, you know, I also noticed that the no huddle, emphasis on the no huddle just kind of went away in the second half. Didn't really understand that. Lastly, just going to leave it to you guys. Why is McCourty returning kicks? Take it easy, guys.
Well, and that is a pretty good question, Ken, and thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. We had seen him demoted, right? Like last week, it was Woodhead returning kicks, if I'm not mistaken. Now, the answer to why is Devin McCourty returning kicks, you can balance that out with, well, he did have a 104-yard kickoff return in the first half, but we've seen the Patriots go away from him. We saw it last week that he wasn't back there on kickoff returns anymore. Now, I don't know that Woodhead's the answer, and clearly McCourty showed something in the return game tonight with a 104-yard kickoff return. And the Patriots coaching staff, by the way, when he had another opportunity at a kickoff return, they didn't go away from him. In other words, this wasn't a Stephen Ridley situation where they bench him for ball security issues. This wasn't Sterling Moore or Kyle Arrington in the secondary for the Patriots. For whatever reason, Bill treats Devin McCourty differently than he treats Stephen Ridley after a big fumble. And he treats Devin McCourty differently in the secondary as well than he treats some of the other guys who he's benched. So I think you can play that both ways. McCourty obviously had a spark. It was a huge kickoff return, 104 yards. And the Patriots early on in the game were sort of stagnant offensively. That sparked them. But that fumble was a crushing fumble, potentially, for the Patriots. And they were able to overcome it and pick up a 29-26 win over the Jets in overtime. And again, they take over first place in the division by moving to 4-3. Jets dropped to 3-4. Bills had already fallen to 3-4 earlier in the day. We'll get to your phone calls, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails as well to webradio@patriots.com as we take your thoughts throughout this one. But we do want to head out to the Ace Ticket Hotline and welcome in Patriots defensive lineman Kyle Love to the program. And first of all, Kyle, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Now, why don't you walk us through the pendulum, the up and down roller coaster there at the end where the Jets nose in front, you guys tie it, you win it in overtime. What was that range of emotions like at the end of this one?
Oh, it was high. You know, thankfully, you know, we had the crowd on our side, and, you know, whenever you can get the crowd, the fans in the tour, you know, that kind of helped the players out, and they were definitely there for us today.
What does it mean for the defense to get a stop like you guys got in overtime to get a walk-off win, if you will?
Oh, that's big. That's big. Anytime a defense can close the game like that, you know, that just helps us further along down the road. You know, we got guys that can close the game, you know, later down the road, you know, they're just going to get more momentum, and we're just going to play harder off of that.
Talking to Patriots defensive lineman Kyle Love, joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Kyle, what's it like on the sideline when you guys are down 3 points and the ball is in Tom Brady's hands looking to force overtime?
We got a good confidence in our guys, you know. You know, we never want to look at it like, you know, the offense has got to finish the game. Defensively, our line fitness, we might be going back on the field, and if we're going back on the field, we better be ready. And Vince is preaching that the whole time. The offense has the ball. He's like, you know, don't get down, guys. We got a chance to go back in the game and finish the game. So, you know, keep your head up and everybody just do your job.
Steven Gostkowski had missed a potential game-winning field goal earlier this year against Arizona. When you watch him out on the field, is that something that's going through your mind, or is that something where, you know, you've put that in the past?
Oh, no. Definitely have to put that in the past. You know, everybody has bad games. You can't hold that against guys. I know Steve is a great kicker, so I know he was going to make it. So, you know, I had faith in him.
You guys are above 500. Next up, you head to London. What was the message from Coach after the win?
What was what?
The message from Coach Bill Belichick after the win.
Just got to play hard. I mean, it was a good win. It was a good 60-minute game. It was a physical game. You know, we got a lot of stuff that we got to correct and do better. And, you know, we got to be ready to work come Tuesday.
All right. He is Patriots defensive lineman Kyle Love. Got a sack in this one of Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez as the Patriots beat the Jets 29-26 in overtime here in Foxborough. Kyle, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right. Kyle Love joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. And you heard him say a walk-off win for the defense, something to hang your hat on. You'll take the wins where you can get them defensively. And I understand, you know, you give up a go-ahead field goal at the end of the game when you're backed up in your own end. And prior to that, the Patriots defense gives up a couple of sustained drives. Remember, they let the Jets go 14 plays, 92 yards on that Keller touchdown. That 7-yard touchdown culminated a 14-play, 92 drive. You know how the Patriots answered that? 6 plays, 24 yards, punt. And then the Jets get the ball right back. 6 plays, 40 yards, game-tying field goal. So that's sort of where you were at with the defense, a bad taste in your mouth. And I think most Patriots fans will give them the benefit of the doubt after the McCourty fumble. You're backed up in your own ends. But you get the walk-off win. At least you can feel all right getting that stop in overtime as Cunningham, who actually started this game, Ninkovich started in a linebacker role. And those two are able to pressure Sanchez, force out the fumble, and get the win for the Patriots 29-26 as they move to 4-3. Let's go back to the phones, 508-298-0398. We appreciate you waiting patiently. Let's welcome in Brandon from California. What do you think of this win here today, Brandon?
Oh, man, there's just a lot going on this season. But I have two things to say. The first one was, I don't know if the post-game show is, like, correct because I was trying to listen to it, but it was the pre-game show.
Huh, but yeah, on the stream, you're saying?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
And the second thing is just, like, this year we get turnovers, but we just never capitalize off of them. It's like last year we would get, like, an interception, Brady driving down the field and score. This year it's, like, it's just 3 and out. You know, it's just – we just have no – I don't know. It's just – this is a bad season so far.
Yeah, and look, and Brandon, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. Look, I don't know if it's going out there on the stream right now or not. Kevin, you're saying we're fine on this post-game show, yeah?
Kevin's
right skeptical that that the pre-game show is playing. So
listening to it on my iPhone app right now. I'm listening to your very voice.
I was going to say, well, whatever Brandon's listening to then, maybe he clicked on the pre-game show by accident. But if he's listening, he would be able to hear myself, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, talking about this thing like, you know, Patriots are in a comfortable spot. You know, and I said I thought they'd run away from the Jets. You know, 2-3 touchdowns. I took the Patriots to cover. What was it, a 10-point line? So I didn't think we'd be looking at this thing. So I understand, and most of the feedback we've gotten from Patriots fans has said, well, it was a win, but I don't know. You know, you look at this team like it's not heading in the right direction, especially defensively. And you'll take a win as you can get it. And I do think there's something to be said for coming back, tying the game, going ahead in overtime with a nice sustained drive, by the way, in overtime to get the win. 12 plays, 54 yards, Gostkowski 48-yard field goal. So there's something to be said for the offense getting a little bit of that game tying and then go ahead drive to win you a game and then the defense getting a stop at the end. But beyond those things, on balance, people look at this team at 4-3, and they had to eke one out at home in overtime against an offensively challenged team just to get there. I would say on balance, Patriots fans are still worried, might be too strong of a word, but don't know what you have in this team right now. And you're skeptical about that team's 4-3 record. Let's go back to the phones. James is in Chicago. James, what do you think about the Patriots today?
First off, man, the ever. I never feel confident in those guys.
Here's what we're going to do, James. We're going to put you on hold here for a moment just because your phone is very, very quiet. We'll have Kevin talk to you. You've been waiting patiently for a while, so we'll make sure to get back to you. We'll take an email here to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Anders writes in from Norway. Adam, I know it's a win, but I'm really disappointed by this game. In my opinion, this was by no means a clear-cut win, and it doesn't feel great being more disappointed than happy after a win. And the reason why I'm disappointed is that the secondary, or is the secondary, I feel they started out good with some tight coverage and good plays, but then it was time for the fourth quarter, and the Jets' offense did exactly what they wanted with the Patriots' defense, and that's what scares me. I don't want to think about what would happen if Hill would have made that catch. It's a good point. You know, I hadn't even referenced that, but, you know, Hill had just a crushing drop in a tied ball game, when the Jets were still down three, but with a chance to go in front. Third and three, drops it, and they have to settle for a 43-yarder from Nick Folk. So it's a good point. And remember, or what happens if Sanchez sees Hill earlier in the game instead of a Dennard pick? Maybe it's a touchdown. So you can play that game all day. And I think things were shaky in the secondary again, but I've seen worse. I've seen worse out of the Patriots secondary. And I did see a few competitive players back there. Like, I thought Dowling was competitive. I think Dennard, since he's moved in and started playing, has been competitive. Let's try James again in Chicago. What's going on, James?
Okay, yeah. I hope you guys can hear me.
No. That sounds much better. I appreciate you holding on.
Okay, yeah. First off, I want to know, why don't the Patriots just hire Ty Law in some capacity to work with those guys, with the cornerbacks? I mean, because those guys are, like, scary every game. Every game. I just never trust them to hold on to whatever lead we may have.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a reasonable feeling with the way the secondary's been going, right? They can't guard Sidney Rice or cover Sidney Rice, rather, last week. And never mind just Sidney Rice. You know, they couldn't cover Golden Tate. They couldn't cover Doug Baldwin, and Russell Wilson gets a go-ahead score. Same thing today. Curley and Keller gave the Patriots fits. And Stephen Hill was open quite a bit. Either Sanchez couldn't find him or he dropped passes. So I totally understand where you're coming from, James. I think a lot of Patriots fans feel the same way with this secondary. To answer your question, and we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. To answer your question on Ty Law, I don't know that he wants to coach. But the bigger question is, do they have issues with their secondary coach? They have issues with Josh Boyer back there. And can they improve? Maybe. I don't think that's a mid-season thing. And I certainly don't think it's a right-now thing. Notice how the Eagles did it with Juan Castillo. And you could probably say they're 5 or 6 weeks too late, firing their defensive coordinator who had never coached defense previously and yet somehow was their defensive coordinator for a year and a half. They did it on their bye week. Similar to how the Patriots traded Randy Moss a couple of years ago. That's a big shakeup to just do midweek. Like, that's either an off-season thing, which is when I assume the Patriots would do it if they were considering anything of the sort, or it's at the very least a bye week thing, and that's pretty drastic. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's talk to our buddy Mel in Tennessee. You're next up here on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Mel, what'd you think of that game?
Not good. I didn't like it at all, to say the least. Like I said, I think I would have been almost just as upset as if we lost. I just don't understand how our secondary has. There's numerous times during this game where there's receivers and nobody within 5 yards of them. There was a tight end just, like, I can't even remember what he was, I mean, uncovered in the middle of the field, jumping up and down almost for a score. I don't understand what they're doing on defense.
That was the play where Sanchez just didn't find him, right? It was Ruland running across the middle, and I forget. He either threw it out of bounds or took a shot down the field, but he was just wide open running across the middle. You're right.
Right, and it's numerous times. I don't know if the defensive backs are not getting it. I don't know who's drawing up these plays, but this is really nerve-wracking. It looked a little bit better during the beginning of the season, but like you said, like, it's getting worse and worse and worse during the year. Then Brandon Lloyd has another off game. You know, if it's right there square in his chest, he'll drop it, but if he has to toe-touch it on the sideline with eight people guarding him, he'll catch it.
Well, he did not catch the difficult ones today, and Mel, we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. He didn't even catch the difficult ones today. I know that sounds backwards with most receivers, but he's right. With Brandon Lloyd, it seems like those high degree of difficulty catches are the ones that that he has a propensity to pull down. Brandon Lloyd dropped on the first drive. All right, three drives later, he dropped the ball that would have been 50 yards. Brady bombed it, or the Patriots were right around their own 30 if Lloyd comes down with it. Exactly. Kevin, if Lloyd comes down with it, they're at the other, or at the Jets 20, rather. So you're talking about maybe 50 yards there. Lloyd also had an offensive pass interference call in this one, and he had a chance to reel in a game-winning touchdown for the Patriots. You wouldn't have had to go to overtime if Lloyd comes down with that. I thought that was a perfect, perfect throw by Tom Brady. So I don't think that was a drop. I wouldn't classify it as a drop by Brandon Lloyd. We're not talking Wes Welker in the Super Bowl here, and we're not even talking Lloyd earlier in the game. But he had a chance to pull that thing down, and he's supposed to be that down-the-field vertical threat. That was the perfect spot, and he couldn't come down with it. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Victor in Dallas. Victor, what'd you think of that game?
Oh, man. I got to take a deep breath. I appreciate you taking my call, because being here in Dallas, you know, no one really cares about me and my Patriots.
You know what, Victor? Maybe all Patriots fans, and myself as well, maybe we all just need to take a deep breath here as we discuss this game. What were your thoughts on it?
Well, my problem with this is that I don't understand who we are. Maybe we need to see a psychologist or whatever, but I remember there used to be a time when I couldn't wait to the defense against the ball. I mean, gets their turn.
That's crazy.
Our offense is schizophrenic. I don't know. We don't have a person. Who are we? I mean, do we run? We're a running team. We're a pack. What is it? Used to be a time when I knew when we were behind, I knew Tom Brady was going to make it. And I knew we were going to win the game. Now, I don't know what's going on. I mean, do we need to get our head examined? I mean, I don't know. What is it? I guess you can tell the frustration in my voice.
Well,
but, you know, I don't know if this is a true statement or not. I'm just frustrated. But do we have the worst secondary known to mankind?
I don't know how factually accurate that is, Victor, but certainly it seems that way, right? Like, you're talking about going on over a year now, a year and a half. And, Victor, we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. Are they the worst secondary ever? I don't know. They're one of the worst in the league right now. I think that's pretty apparent. And at least the Patriots didn't bench anyone this week. I guess that's progress in the secondary. 3 weeks ago, it was Sterling Moore getting benched against the Broncos. You know, last week you're benching Kyle Arrington. So at least there's a little bit of progress in the secondary. Again, this is saying something, in my view. I've seen the secondary play worse. I have. So to not really focus in on the secondary as a major issue in this one tells you how bad they've played in the past. I thought the McCourty fumble was absolutely crushing. I thought Lloyd left a lot to be desired in this one with the drops, with the penalty, just the not being able to sync up with Tom Brady, one catch on eight targets. And I thought the Patriots left a ton out on the field in terms of an opportunity to jump in front. In that first half, they could have put the Jets away right there, and they didn't. And that goes back to the killer instinct offensively that the caller was talking about and has been talked about all season with this team. This isn't the first time we've talked about it. It was on display again today. Like, the Patriots didn't have a three and out all day until they really had a chance to put the Jets away. 23-20, 4-plus minutes left, 5-plus minutes left for Tom Brady, and they go three and out. That's where Lloyd had his pass interference, by the way, on a first down catch, so it was all of a sudden first and 20. Brady makes a head-scratching decision going downfield. Cromartie dropped a pick, and the Patriots have to punt. Not good time for your three and out. So situationally, the offense didn't put things away, and that's been a criticism Patriots fans have had all season. Now, they did get a game-tying score for you at the end of regulation, and they did put you in front. So I would say it's better than what they did in Seattle, but still, a lot of Patriots fans are looking for more out of the offense. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Adam Jones with you here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. We'll continue with your feedback, and we also head to the podium to hear from head coach Bill Belichick following his club's 29-26 victory over the New York Jets in overtime. Hang out on the phone lines, and we'll get to you next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Patriots move to 4-3 with a 29-26 overtime win over the New York Jets to take over first place in the division as the Bills and Jets each fall. Dolphins were on a bye week. We'll head to the podium momentarily and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick and his thoughts on this win over the New York Jets. But first, let's get to your phone calls. 508-298-0398. Your emails, go to web radio. At Patriots.com. Let's go to Duke in New Jersey. Duke, what'd you think of that Patriots win?
I almost just died. If I went to school tomorrow and they'd lost, I would have just heard it for like months.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of Patriots fans have been on edge with this team. And Duke, we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. I think a lot of Patriots fans are on edge with this team. And I don't know, I think it's scary when quarterbacks like Russell Wilson and Mark Sanchez are staring you down. Wilson with whatever it was, 2.5 minutes left last week, and Sanchez with over 4 minutes left this week, going on 4.5 minutes, and you have no faith the defense is going to get a stop. Like, that's scary. That's scary. But maybe the stop in overtime is something to hang your hat on. A walk-off win, quote-unquote, as Jermaine Cunningham and Rob Ninkovich get after Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez, force a fumble, there's a change of position. Like, maybe that's a turning point for the defense. I don't think so, but that's how I'd be trying to spin it if I were the Patriots. You know, Mark Sanchez threw for almost 330 yards on your secondary today. But honestly, I think I'm less down on the secondary than a lot of people. I was just reading Mike Reese on ESPNBoston.com. His three up, three down, very down on the secondary. Had Rozai Dowling singled out and the Patriots pass defense in general singled out. You know, maybe there were just worse things in the game where I didn't get to it. But I don't know. Or maybe my expectations are just so low that I was not impressed, quote unquote. But maybe I saw a little bit more there than I have in past weeks. I still think Dennard was competitive, and I thought Dowling was as well. Like, yes, there were penalties. One was declined, but I don't know. I think Dowling looks like he can play, or at least to the point where I want to see more. Let's put it that way. You know, Dennard, I thought it was pretty obvious 3 weeks ago. He deserves more playing time. That's how I felt about it then, and that's how I feel about Dowling now. Like, why not play these guys? You know Sterling Moore and Kyle Arrington aren't the answer. Dennard was a seventh-round pick, but he fell in the draft. And Dowling was the first pick of the second round. Maybe getting guys out there with a better pedigree, maybe that changes things a bit. And I thought they were, if nothing else, a little more physical and a little more competitive than we've seen in the past. It was not perfect from Dowling today by any means. Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. Joel's in Atlanta. What'd you think of that game today, Joel?
It was a pretty good win. I'm here in Atlanta, Adam, and I know how other callers feel about being the only Patriots fan around.
Yep.
But you know what? People hate us because we're good. Even in our worst, we're still the best team in the AFC. So, I mean, I think all the fans need to keep their heads high because I see, just like you, potential in Dennard. Even though he made some rookie mistakes today, but I see potential in him than any other cornerback that we have.
Well, I don't disagree with that, Joel. I don't disagree with that at all. I think for three straight weeks, he's arguably been their best cornerback. Like, I think he gave up more plays today, Joel, than he had in the two previous games. But
he did.
And those were the Denver and Seattle games. Remember, Seattle, he got a lot of playing time. Denver, he came on in the second quarter and stayed on the field. I think he gave up more plays today, but still, the Jets picked on Arrington McCourty, that corner safety combination, as McCourty was a safety today. They picked on that combination much more than they did on Wilson and Dennard.
That's true. I'd rather have Dennard giving up, you know, 7 yards than McCourty giving up 40 yards on a touchdown.
Well, and that's sort of how I feel about it too, Joel. Thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. Remember last year, there was like a point where, and I feel like we talk about this every year with the Patriots defense, and I hate to go to the cliche, but the whole bend but don't break thing, right? You can't be giving up 30, 40, 50-yard plays. It's not ideal, but I'd rather see the 18 to 20-yard plays to the Jeremy Curleys of the world than just straight-up bombs that we've been seeing in the past to Golden Tate, to Sidney Rice, where the quarterback just heaves it straight up and they go and get it. Demaryius Thomas is a different kind of athlete, but I felt similar in that game too. So for me, I just think we've seen too many of those, and I think Belichick has too many of those 40-yard plays, and he's just going to say, you know what? We're not giving those up anymore. It's 20 yards. You're going to have your 20, 18, and 20-yard outs. Those are the plays we're going to allow, and if the quarterback hits him, he hits him. But I'm done seeing 40 and 50-yard plays over the top. I'm done with it. And I wonder if we're back at that point again. Is that enough to win a Super Bowl? It was close last year. It wasn't enough, but it was close. And, you know, one of those outs, it was a deeper play, but one of those outs are what killed you in the Super Bowl, the Manningham catch. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to the phones again. Joe's in Pennsylvania. Joe, what'd you think of that game today?
Well, I only have one word to say, and it's a ditto. Every single week, it just seems like it's the same thing over and over again. We won. It was a win, thank God. But it just seems like everything happens every single week over and over and over again. But my comment that I want to make is, I want to make a comment about Brandon Spikes. Yep. I really do believe that he is one of the hardest, if not the hardest hitter in the NFL.
Knocked Sean Green out of that game today.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. The one negative comment, yeah, we're always concentrating on the secondary. I called last week, and I'm going to complain about the same thing. The pass rush, yeah, we did get a sack, and we got a fumble recover in the last play. But it doesn't seem like our front four are putting enough pressure, even on Sanchez. And it just seems like every week.
And, Joe, not to jump in, but against the bad offensive line that lost one of their linemen today, too, Thomas Austin was knocked out for a stretch.
Yeah, I mean, we should be putting a lot more pressure on, especially with the defensive backfield that we have. And the third thing is, which is a very odd thing to bring up, is Mesko had an exceptional day with his punting and putting the Jets back on the 5-yard line. I think it was twice. You know, I think he averaged like 45 yards a kick, which is great, because the Jets did have to go with the full field in order to get the score.
It was almost 45, right on the money. There were four down inside the 20 and along a 54. It's observant, Joe, and you know, you're not the only one who singled him out. We have that in some emails as well. I know Reese singled him out on his Patriots blog as well on ESPNBoston.com. Here's my one caveat with that. I think the Jets helped him a little bit. You know, like, I don't think the Jets had to catch those punts there, and maybe they bounce into the end zone and you start at the 20. Now, they did, and credit the punter for that, for putting the returner in that situation, but I do think the Jets helped you out a little bit there. I feel similar with some of the turnovers. Like, two of the turnovers the Patriots forced, they didn't really quote-unquote force. Like, the Cunningham-Ninkovich one, no doubt, that is a forced fumble. But the Sean Green one in the first half, that wasn't a forced fumble. Wilfork sort of blew up the play. But that was Sanchez just couldn't hold on to the handoff to Sean Green. And the Sanchez pick was an atrocious throw. One more phone call here. 508-298-0398. Then we'll head to the podium. Hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Let's check in with Taylor in Nashville, Tennessee. You've been waiting patiently. What did you think of that game, Taylor?
I thought it could have been a lot better. I was kind of disappointed in the offense. But, I mean, they pulled through.
Hi, this is Taylor's dad down here in Patriots Nation Outpost, Nashville, Tennessee. We got to see the first game of the season. We were 8 rows back, and we saw a pretty tough defense. We stuffed the running lanes. It was an impressive display. But I got to tell you, every week, I guess I'm echoing a lot of the response we're getting from Patriots Nation, but it is nerve-wracking, and we're just not seeing the kind of consistency and the kind of intensity we expect from our Patriots. We got talent on this team, and I'm really concerned why we just can't get focused and play our hearts out. And I'd be interested to hear your opinion on the heart and the spirit of the team.
Well, and Taylor and Taylor's dad, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. Tandem call there, Kevin Collins.
I think that's a Patriots postgame show first.
Yeah, I've not heard that before. That's okay. You can get creative with your phone calls here on the program. My thought on the heart and the will. I've been disappointed when the Patriots have had opportunities to close things out offensively. They haven't. And, you know, I don't know if that's the will or the desire or anything like that, but I understand how Patriots fans may see it that way. I just think it's been poor execution. And some of it in the past, not today, but some of it in the past has been play calling. Like, some of it has been, why are you running? Why are you going super conservative when you've been aggressive all game? Like Seattle. Why are you running gadget plays? Like in the Baltimore game. So, I don't know. To me, that's not necessarily heart. Where that comes into it a little bit, I call it more killer instinct. I think the Patriots had a chance to put the game away in the first half after you get that safety on just a botched play by Mark Sanchez and Sean Green. You take over the football after the safety, and you can't put the Jets away, and instead they hang around in the first half. And that's why you had yourself in a game until overtime, in my view. You could have put that thing away, and you didn't. So I don't know if I'd call that will necessarily, but where's the killer instinct from the Patriots at the end of games, and even in that first half, I'd agree with that. Thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Speaking of that safety, by the way, from the Patriots, first one for the Pats since 2006. So the defense, if you want to give them credit for that, you can. I thought it was more on the botched exchange from Sanchez to Sean Green, but first safety for the Patriots. Take that for what it will, for what it's worth, rather, in the last 6 years. We'll get back to your phone calls, 508-298-0398. We'll take your thoughts on this one as the Patriots move to 4-3. And also, we could transition into where are they at now after 7 weeks? They're going to head to London to take on a pesky Rams team. How do you feel about where this team is at after barely squeaking by the Jets and giving up a lead last week against the Seattle Seahawks? We'll take your thoughts on that. Your emails can go to webradio@patriots.com. But let's head to the podium and hear from the head coach, Bill Belichick, following his team's 29-26 win over the Jets.
Got good contributions from all three units, and we just got to keep working harder to get better, to do things better, and you know, eliminate a few of the mistakes that we had. But you know, I'm proud of the team. I thought they played mentally and physically tough, and like I said, in the end, made enough plays to win. So, you know, it's on to St. Louis. Yeah, well, there's a lot of things we need to work on. Oh, well, you know, with Chung and Gregory both out, you know, we felt like we had to do something there at safety. Devin's got some experience back there. I thought he did a, you know, pretty solid job from what, you know, what I could see. We'll take a little closer look at it, but I thought the deep part of the field was, you know, more secure than it's been. So that was good. Kickoff return was a big play. Got us going. And, you know, he's a solid guy. Does a good job for us. Whatever he's asked to do, he does a good job for us. Yeah, Steve came through big. Yeah, he hit some big kicks and kicked off well. Yep, did a good job. I mean, we got plays from every unit. We had so many people step up and play well. And the Jets played well, too. I mean, that's, you know, they did a good job. Tough, hard-fought game. Came down to a few plays. Luckily, we made a few more than they did. But about as competitive as it can get, and that's usually the way it is with the Jets. I mean, they're always hard-fought games. Yeah, I mean, he's at the end of the line pretty much on, you know, however you want to slice it up, whether he's up or down or end linebacker or whatever you want to call it. He's an end-of-the-line type player. So, but Rob does a good job for us. You know, made a big play on the running play there, came inside, made a hit. I think it was on the end of the overtime series, right? And then obviously the strip. You know, he's around the ball and, I don't know, always seems to play well against the Jets. He's got a lot of big plays against those guys. We just, you know, tried to use everybody the best that we could.
Your offense has some chances to kind of put things away late or come back and make plays late. They haven't done it. Chances, how encouraged are you that they kind of keep moving out of
today? That was a big 2-minute drive. Yeah, it was, you know, a big stop for us defensively to hold them to a field goal and be able to stay in the game. But, yeah, no, it was a big drive. Again, there's things that certainly could have been better, but we, in the end, did enough good things to win. And certainly that was a big drive, take it down the length of the field, big kick to get it into overtime. So, you know, that was good. Some of the things that we did to put ourselves in that position, obviously need and hopefully can be better. Yeah, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I think it is. You know, he's a strong kid. He's 200 pounds. He's got good playing strength. That's a physical group of receivers, Shillings and Hill and Keller, you know, receiver, tight end, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, that's a big physical group that they have, too. So, other than Curley, I mean, he's good, but that's not really his game. But, you know, they got some big physical guys there that are, you know, you got to battle with them. Yeah. I mean, he still hurt us, though. I mean, he's still got open on plenty of plays. So, but he's a tough guy to defend, you know, and we knew that he only played a little bit last week. We expected him to play more this week. We, you know, gave him some attention, but, you know, obviously we could have given him more. But he's, you know, he's a good player. He's a tough guy to handle. Big, athletic, catches the ball well. He's some good tight ends out on the field today.
Bill, are you guys still trying to figure out what to hang your hat on?
We try to do what we think's best, so that could change from game to game. You know, playing the Jets is different than playing anybody else, or playing whoever we played last week or the week before. It's different than, so I'm thinking just, you know, run one or two plays. You gotta defeat what they're doing, whatever that happens to be. So work on it every week. Keep working on it. When those situations come up, hopefully we'll be able to come through and deliver.
Bill, can you talk about the offensive line a little bit? You had a couple of guys out, obviously, and the guys stepped in and did a pretty good job.
Yeah, they did. Dan Connolly got sick this morning, and we were kind of hoping to have him back for the game, but his stomach or whatever, indigestion or whatever, just didn't clear up, and so I know we lost him right at game time, so we didn't expect that. But Nick stepped in there and did a good job. So it was practice that way all week, and then come into the game and kind of have to switch it there in pregame. But that's just the next guy stepping up and doing his job. And Nick did that for us last year, and did it for us again today. Thought the tackles did a good job, Nate and Sebastian, out there on the edge. They blocked those guys all day. We threw the ball a lot, and they did a good job on those edge rushers. Overall, we handled the blitzes, not perfect, but we were competitive with them.
Running backs as well, you shuffled the
field. Yep, they all played. They were all productive, and as I said, they all were involved in blitz pickup. Jets were sending, several times they sent linebackers right up the middle on us, and so, we had to stand in there and pick those guys up, and that was, I thought our backs competed well too today. Sure. Oh well, it's good to be it's good to be 2-0 in the division. Those are huge games for us, and we know the Jets are going to be there, all the way through. They'll be there at the end. So. But there's a lot of football left to be played. I don't think anybody clinched anything today. I don't think anybody got eliminated today. There's a long way to go, and we just need to keep improving and getting better. We need to, build on the things that we're doing well and doing more consistently, and the things that we aren't doing as well, we've got to keep working harder at them to get them up to a higher level. But that was a good football game today. Jets are a good team. They played well, as they have the last couple of weeks. I think they've continued to get better. We're going to have to, keep our game going at that same rate, as we go through each of the, succeeding weeks here.
Billy, you had a couple of instances in the first half, personnel problems, but I'm out on the point. And then on the touchdown, you only have 10 minutes on the field. You can't be happy about that.
Yeah, no. We missed, obviously, a substitution on the punt, and then we had a couple guys go down there defensively and weren't sure if they were in the game, not in the game, and we end up not getting that sub right on the goal line. So we got to do a better job of coaching and have even better awareness overall on our team in terms of substitutions with injuries and that type of thing. Yep. There's certainly a lot of things that weren't perfect in the game that we can improve on. And that's, collectively, that's all of us. It's coaches, players. All the people that are involved there.
Are you confident that this group of players can get better and get more than
one? I think we've improved every week. Yeah, I do. I think we've improved every week. I think other teams are improving too, and they should be. We're practicing, we're playing. Teams are getting, everybody's getting better. We just got to get better faster than our opponents are getting better. Yeah, Jermaine worked hard. He had a good offseason. He's one of our offseason award winners, and that's indicative of his work ethic. We played him at several different positions this year, both outside and inside, both ends, both tackles. He's been a versatile guy for us, as well as some plays in the kicking game. And he's been productive for us. We've asked him to do a lot of different things, and he's done a good job of it. Yeah, as I said, I think Jermaine had it started last year at the end of the season after he was injured and was on injured reserve. And, even though he was hurt and out, he still worked on things that he could work on. And then once he got healthy, he really had a good off season. And that's something he hasn't had the last 2 years. He came out of Florida with surgery at the end of the season. And then also his rookie year, he was out. And then his second year was the strike year, so everybody showed up for training camp on that, and so I think this is a year that, he's first time in 3 years, really, since he was a junior in college, that he's, or sophomore, whatever it was, that, he's really had a chance to, train and, really work on things in the off season. That got him off to a good start in the spring, got him off to a good start in training camp. And he's really improved as a player. But, he deserves a lot of credit because how hard he's worked. Well, we'll go back and look at the film. I can't tell you exactly how everything went, but certainly some things were better. Was everything better? I mean, probably not, but we'll have to keep working on those things. But I thought we did improve in some areas. No, I mean, I didn't really see it that way. I mean, we played quite a bit of man coverage. I mean, we were in cover too, I'm not saying that, but I mean, we played quite a bit of man coverage. Okay, thank you.
Excellent sigh at the end there by Bill Belichick, Patriots head coach after the win, 29-26 over the Jets. Maybe that was a sigh of relief. It wasn't quite that, Kevin Collins. It was close. It was getting there. It was just a, like, it's been 10 minutes, people. How much longer are we going here? I'm getting questions about whether I'm playing man or cover two. Anyway, I actually agree with Belichick, by the way, on the secondary. I think.
How long are we going here?
I think things were better, Bill. I agree with you. I think things were better. It wasn't good, but if you're asking me how I feel about the secondary in this one, or the Seattle one, I just think there was more in this game than there was against the Seahawks. Like, those were just legitimate jump balls Russell Wilson threw up. And in this one, there were certainly gaps between your corner and your safety, which I think is what Tom Curran was getting at with the zone versus man-to-man question. And that, I didn't have the specifics there, but that was the gist of his question. I think Belichick's to the point where he was last year, where they're going to give up 15 to 20 yard outs. They don't want to get beat over the top. They don't want to get beat on those jump balls, and they're not going to. So I think there were slight improvements. I would take this performance from the secondary over last week, even though Sanchez threw for going on 330 yards. I know that sounds ridiculous. That's sort of how I feel about it. And one other thing before we get back to the phones, 508-298-0398. I promise we'll get there. I also forgot about this. I had it in my notes. I just forgot to even reference it earlier. The Sean Green touchdown. The Patriots only had 10 guys on the field. And Belichick was talking about that. He was asked about it. Yeah, it's just a mix-up. We had some guys we weren't sure if they were in or if they were out. Dederick was late coming onto the field. Sean Green ran it right down their throats, and the Jets jumped out to a 7-0 lead. That's on coaching, ultimately. It didn't come back to bite them, but that's on coaching. And I just think these last couple of weeks we've seen more of those situations for the Patriots than we typically see. Like, usually we don't see the Patriots run out of timeouts in the second half. We saw that in Seattle. Usually you don't see only 10 guys on the field with the Patriots. So that's just 2 weeks in a row we've seen that. They were able to survive this one. They almost survived last week. 508-298-0398. Let's hit the phones. Joe is in Florida. What'd you think, Joe, of that 29-26 win over the Jets?
A phenomenal game. I mean, just to go back to each week just going down to the last second here, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the season. But what I'd like to point out is the offensive line depth to have Conley and Makins out and hold up pretty well on that game.
Good point.
A really good tribute to that offensive line. Because all we do seem to do is talk about how bad our coaches are. And I think we should start talking about some positives.
Well, I don't.
They are doing
well,
right.
Joe, I think in the case of the offensive line, very few people question Dante Scarnecchia. I think you almost always hear glowing things. I feel like in the preseason we were wondering, all right, well, Vollmer's a new left tackle. You don't know how healthy Mankins is. You don't know if Brian Waters is going to be there at right guard. How healthy is Vollmer? And I said, you know what? I trust Dante Scarnecchia to figure it out on the O-line. So I understand what you're saying, where we should give the coaches credit, but I think the offensive line and Scarnecchia get a lot of credit.
And another positive, obviously, was the field goal, the 48-yard field goal.
Totally.
Tremendous. I mean, right down the middle,
Yeah, and it's big for Gostowski. And, Joe, thanks for the phone call. It's big for Gostowski after the Arizona game. Don't tell me he doesn't want one of those under his belt where, all right, that balances out a field goal where you could have won. This is one where you tied it, and I don't think that was a gimme. that Gostkowski hit on to force overtime. 43 yards in that situation. We've seen plenty of kickers miss him. He should make it, but it's not a gimme. It's not Billy Cundiff in the AFC Championship game. That was a gimme. And 48 yards in overtime to win it. Now, it's not a walk-off situation. The pressure's a little different, but yeah, Gostkowski was on my good list. Those were big kicks by him today. I agree. And Joe makes a good point as well on the O-line. You weren't just without Connolly because he left the game. Mankins was scratched before the game. And I think McDonald did a much better job filling in than Donald Thomas did. Now, I think Thomas did get better as the game went on. I at least noticed him standing out less as the game wore on. But initially, early on, Thomas was an issue for the Patriots. Gave up a pressure by Muhammad Wilkerson on Tom Brady on the Patriots' third drive. And he also had a holding penalty on the fourth drive, which negated a Rob Gronkowski catch. So I thought he was an issue early, but at least he stood out less as the game wore on. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. I mean that as a compliment, by the way, to Donald Thomas, and not that he's going to fill in perfectly for Logan Mankins when you lose him. And in general, I think the offensive line was pretty good in this game. I would agree. So you've heard from the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, following his club's 29-26 win over the New York Jets. Patriots move back to the top of the division. You'll hear from their quarterback, Tom Brady, next. You're on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of Americard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Second down and 10 for the Jets at their own 40. One lone running back, and that's Joe McKnight behind Mark Sanchez. Second down and 10. Sanchez is back to throw. He is going to be hit and sacked. Back at the 29-yard line, and a fumble on the play. Patriots recover. The game is over.
Gil Santos, Scott Zolak with the call on the Patriots radio network as the Patriots get the, for lack of a better term, walk-off win over the New York Jets in overtime, 29-26. They outlast the Jets. They get a game-tying field goal from Steven Gostkowski, 43 yards out in the game winner, 48 yards out in overtime. Ninkovich and Cunningham combined for the sack and forced fumble and recovery. Cunningham with the forced fumble, Ninkovich with the recovery. They split the sack as the Patriots eke out a three-point win over the Jets. More importantly, they take over first place in the division by moving to 4-3. It's Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We'll go till about 10 o'clock here tonight, Eastern time, on Patriots.com. Still to come, the quarterback, Tom Brady, following his club's three-point win. We'll get there momentarily, but first, your feedback. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Mike writes in. Adam, generally, even when the Patriots lose, I have something good to say about how we played. This week we won, and I don't have anything good to say. Something great was often offset by something just as bad. For instance, McCourty's 104-yard touchdown return. Amazing. Then he fumbles and turns the ball over, allowing the Jets to tie. The defense played well in the end of the second half, getting a safety, but they couldn't stop anything in the third and fourth quarter. Our offensive performance simply wasn't acceptable. We couldn't run. Anything thrown to Lloyd was dropped. Hernandez couldn't make the jump catches he's known for. Brady may not have thrown any interceptions, but the screen passes we were throwing on third downs might as well have been. And there certainly were a couple that should have been picked. And the one that comes to mind for me was that Cromartie one, where the Patriots went three and out. He should have had a pick. Look, I understand what he's saying, where, and he's not the only one, Mike writing in from San Diego, or South Dakota, rather. He's not the only one who feels that way. Like, most of the Patriots fans we've been hearing from have said, we'll take the win, but... And I understand you feeling that way. You probably should, especially with the way the defense has been playing. Now, maybe the last play gives you a little bit of hope and a silver lining, but in general, the defense just gave up 330 yards to Mark Sanchez. That's after you let Russell Wilson beat you the week before. And the offense, for the second straight week, didn't put things away when they could have, either in the first half or with about 5 minutes left in this one. So I do understand that frustration. Before we get to the phones, I just want to tick through a couple other things. Like, he got me thinking about the running game. You know who showed something today? Vereen. Like, in general, I agree. The running game was disappointing today for the Patriots. All right? The rushing stats, 131 on 31 carries, just over 4 yards a pop. I think the running game was a little underwhelming, but Vereen, specifically, pretty good. 8 carries, 49 yards, and you saw him on the opening drive for the Pats, first two plays, 10-yard catch out of the backfield for Vereen, 14-yard run. Those are the first two plays. I think most Patriots fans hadn't even sat down in their seats, hadn't even cracked their beers yet. And you're like, oh, what's Ridley doing? Oh, no, that's Vereen? So I think that's promising. I thought all three backs have shown you at various points that they deserve to be out there. I thought Woodhead was fine as well today, more as a receiver than a running back, but four catches on four targets, 29 yards. And the big one that Woodhead had for you was that 20-yarder on the game-tying drive at the end of regulation. So it wasn't Ridley's best day, but in general, I think we've seen enough from him to feel good about it. It was a nice day from Vereen. Maybe he gets in on the mix in the backfield, picking up the slack a little bit for Brandon Bolden, who was held out of this one due to his knee injury. 508-298-0398. Let's hit the phones. Vinny's in Michigan. Vin, what'd you think of that game?
Yeah, you know, I was happy with the win. A couple things I was a little disappointed with. But going back to that, you just said something about Sanchez. I think he's finally got most of his weapons back, so I would expect a little bit better game from him.
You think he has his weapons back?
Well, he got Keller back and Hill's back. I mean, he's dropped that one.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. About as good as it's going to get, in other words.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was really disappointed with Brandon Lloyd. I don't know if you put him on the bad list.
I did indeed. I was disappointed as well.
And I mean, that one catch on that first drive where he should have made the sliding catch. And then at the end of the game, that one hit him in the chest to win it without going to overtime.
Yeah, no, Vinny, I ticked through this, and thanks for the phone call. And you know what? I probably undersold the pass interference he had initially as well. Like, I cited the two drops. That last play that Vinny just touched on could have been a game-winning touchdown, or at least a go-ahead touchdown at the end of regulation. I wouldn't classify that as a drop. Like, the defender, Cromartie, had tight coverage. I thought Brady dropped it in perfectly, but I wouldn't call that a drop, quote-unquote. What he had on the opening drive, as Vinny cited, was a drop. What he had on the fourth drive of the game, that would have been a 50-yard catch if he pulled it down, that's a drop. But that one at the end of regulation wasn't. However, the pass interference was brutal. Remember how that the Patriots just had the Jets pull within 23-20. Jets had just gone 14 plays, 92 yards, and capped it with a touchdown to Dustin Keller. And what do? They go three and out because Lloyd, while catching a pass, pushes off on first down, 10-yard penalty, so now it's first and 20. Next play, Brady almost throws a pick to Cromartie, and then they end up punting. It's the only three and out they had all day, and Lloyd was central to that. So I thought he had an awful day, yes. And this isn't the first time I've had him on my bad list, but this is probably the worst game he's had. Off the top of my head, it's certainly the worst game he's had. I don't think he's had a ratio of one catch on eight targets anytime previously. Maybe in the preseason, not in the regular season. Let's go to Patrick in Brooklyn. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. What'd you think of that game, Patrick?
Adam, I really liked it. A lot of grit by the team, but I think the thing I want to point out is that the secondary has been awful, but a lot of it has to do with the pass rush isn't nearly as good as it needs to be. Late in the game, we got a better pass rush, but earlier it wasn't so good. But the thing I also want to mention is that I think Belichick moving Denard in and Dowling in and having McCourty at safety really gives the Pats one of the best chances they have with the secondary, because Chung is not nearly as good as Wilson is going to be in pass coverage. And I think McCourty's natural position is more – he seems like he has more of an inclination as a safety than he does as a DB. And lastly, I think the team is really – a young team, and they are talented, and you just have to learn how to win, and it's going to take some time.
Well, and Patrick, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. Here's how I would put it to you. When everyone's healthy in the Patriots secondary, I would sit Arrington. I would sit Sterling Moore. Okay? Those guys are sub-package players at best. But your top three corners should be Dennard, McCourty, and Dowling. Maybe not in that order, but those three should be your top corners. I'd like to get another look at Chung and Gregory with them both healthy. I would give them another crack at it. And here's just why I wouldn't necessarily put McCourty at safety. Like, how many times in my notes do I have McCourty as part of the issue in the secondary? Curley, 19-yard catch on the Jets' third drive of the second half. It's Arrington and McCourty. Those are the guys there. Big third down conversion to Curley, 7 yards on a third and six. It was McCourty and Kyle Arrington. You know, I thought McCourty was just a step slow coming over the top, and maybe it's just because it was his first game out there, right? Like, maybe it's just because McCourty hadn't played there since the postseason last year, and maybe it's just seeing it differently, and he'd get up to speed. I would still, if you're healthy on the back end, I'd take another look at Gregory and Chung before I went with McCourty back there full-time at safety. But I think Dowling deserves more playing time. I know he had that bad tackle on Dustin Keller. What was it, a third down? Keller got 11 yards, third and 10 or whatever it was. Dowling missed the tackle. Keller shook free. Keller also, Dowling also had two penalties. One was declined. But I still think he showed you something today. Like, I don't think what we saw deserved for him to be buried down the depth chart. Like, I don't think he was any worse than what we've seen out of Sterling Moore. I don't think he's any worse than what we've seen out of Kyle Arrington and even Devin McCourty. So when you're healthy back there, I think your corners that I want to see out there and in your sub packages would go McCourty, Dennard, Dowling, whatever order you want. And I'd like another look at Chung and Gregory, assuming they can ever be healthy back there. I'd like another look at those two guys. Those are your five D-backs. Sit Moore, sit Arrington. That's how I feel about it at this point in time. I think that gives you your best chance. Now, that's probably not even an average secondary in the NFL, but I think it gives you your best chance. 508-298-0398. That's how you can get in touch on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to take your thoughts there, but let's head back to the podium. You've already heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Let's hear from their quarterback, Tom Brady, following his club's 29-26 win over the Jets.
I haven't turned the TV on in a week, so I don't know what anyone said. So but it was good to win that game. It was a tough game. It always is against the Jets. And, you know, it's nice to pull out a close one. So I'm glad we did that today. We executed better. I think that's what it is. I mean, we really, it was not our best day of execution in terms of assignments. And, you know, we have to nail those things down. And that's a lot of those inconsistencies. You know, you don't score points. And we didn't score as many as we needed to. And those last couple drives, you know, we moved the ball better. Wouldn't say they were great drives, but they were good enough.
Regardless of the outcome, are you at wit's end as to what the issues are with being able to be as efficient as you might want to be? Or do you know what the problems are?
I think we know. We're just not doing a good enough job. So we all have to do a better job.
I just want to ask one more specific way. The bachelor will throw to try to Aaron on the third down play before. I think they tried to, you know, tie and field goal.
Yep. Was it in overtime? We talk about, you know, what we want to do in certain situations, and Aaron happened to be in that position. So at some point, it's going to be tight coverage, and you got to make, you know, a tough play, and, you know, they're close, and, you know, we got to hit it. So I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, it's not like guys are going to be open by 5 yards with, you know, that kind of time left on the clock, that important part of the game, and it's close. They either make it or they don't, and or we either make it or we don't, and we didn't.
Well, I guess, you know, winning 35-0 would be nice and non-stressful. How much do you like those two-minute situations, which you've handled so many times in your career?
I like it when the outcome's good, and then I like it when we execute well, and there's a lot of satisfaction when we do the right thing. But we did a good job of it when we needed to. I thought there were some good plays that the guys made. Everybody really contributed. We work on that situation all the time. So it's nice when you work on it and it pays off.
When you find yourself on the sideline watching the defense at the end rather than usually sitting on the bench and kind of waiting for
that possession? Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting format. It's first overtime where we've kicked the field goal and then you kind of wait. And, you know, there's four downs for the other team. And, you know, their field goal kicker was making clutch kicks. And, you know, we were kind of preparing to go back out there. And then Rob made a great play. So, you know, it's the kind of plays you need. I mean, if you want to win games, you got to make plays. And, you know, that's a great example of a game-winning play. And, you know, we all got to start making more of those.
Tom, you had another chance late in the fourth quarter with a three-point lead to sort of close it out when that didn't happen again. What is it getting frustrating in those four-minute opportunities to not be able to close the team?
Yeah.
Well, it was first and 10, and then we got a pass interference, and then it's, you know, first and 20, and then it's incomplete, and then it's a run, and then it's third and 16. So it's not the way to play offensive football. I don't think there's going to be much high percentage playing that way. So, you know, we can't really put ourselves in that situation, and we all got to do a better job executing our plays, and I mean, there's no easy way out. It's not like there's a magic special play, you know, that you save for those situations. It's about doing your job and doing a better job of it.
Tom, what is this team learning about itself in these last two games? In the fourth quarter, are you living on the edge, win or lose?
And I think that's it. It comes down to a few plays. And, you know, we had opportunities last week. We had opportunities against Baltimore. We had opportunities against the Cardinals. And, you know, when you make the plays, you know, you win the game. And, you know, we're 4-3. We're in a decent position. You know, we have the whole season ahead of us. Been fighting injuries like every team has. And, you know, we play a very important game this weekend, and then we get a bye, which, you know, will be good for this team. I hope so. I hope it's not, you know, I sure hope we do. That's part of our mental toughness. And I think we're coached very hard and we prepare for tough situations. And, you know, that's the kind of pressure our coach puts on us every day in practice to perform and to perform consistently. So, you know, it's not like in the seventh week of the year you got all the answers. You never really have all the answers. There's only one team that's really happy at the end of the year. And I think it's a building process. And playing your best football at the most important times.
What is your identity right now on offense?
Can you put your finger on it? It's tough to say.
You think that's a problem,
Tom? I don't know. I'm sure if you asked teams and they said yes, it would probably change over the next, whatever, 9 weeks anyway. You know, I think you continue to go do the things that you're doing well, and you know you'd love to figure those things out in spring camps, but it really doesn't play that way. You have some teams that you play and situations that you face and players that are healthy or not healthy and schemes that you run, and you boil it down to what you're good at. So it's only October.
Tom, it's nice to win 5-0. What's it mean to win this way, though?
Oh, it's you know, it's nice to win the close games. It's nice to win when you're down 3 with a minute 40 left in the game. I mean, I think that's a lot of guys made a lot of really great plays to get us in that position. So, you know, Steve had some huge kicks. Danny made some plays. Brandon made plays. Wes, of course, makes plays. Gronk made some big plays. Aaron made plays. So, you know, when those guys contribute, ends up being, you know, it's a nice win. I'm sure the guys are going to have fun tonight.
Side benefit of being in so many of these close games, the simple fact that you have experience, you can look at Nick McDonald or Donald Thomas, and say, you guys know you did this. Or
yeah.
You have stupid stuff, you make a 48-yarder, or you get the pace for the last one.
Yep, that's important. And, you know, you're going to make some, you're going to miss some, and you're going to complete some, and you're going to throw some incompletions, and we're going to catch some, and we're not going to catch some. So, it's, you know, we're building, and we're hopefully we, you know, continue to get better. We played a team tonight that fought hard, and we fought hard and came down to the end. Thank you. I'm going to go home, guys. Thank you.
All right, Tom, you go home. 29-26 is the win for the Patriots over the New York Jets. They moved to 4-3 with that overtime win. You heard Brady single out Stephen Gostkowski for some big kicks. 43-yarder tied things, sent it to overtime. 48-yarder won it in overtime. Brady being asked about some of the situational things that have been discussed. We talked about it last week on this post-game show. We talked about it on various post-game shows. It seems like this season, the offense closing things out, their inability to do so, or at least how they feel in these tight games. And he was asked at the end, and I couldn't make out who the questioner was. I know Curran had a follow-up. I couldn't tell if he asked the first question as well. But, you know, what's the benefit of winning a game like this? Instead of blowing a team out like the Titans, like the Bills, even to an extent like the Broncos, what's it like to win a close one? And, you know, Brady says, like most of the Patriots do, well, we take them all. You know, we'll take them however we can get them, which I think Patriots fans understand, and I think Patriots fans agree with on some level. But I think if you're asking for the truth serum from this team, they wanted to put things away. You know, they don't want to be in the close game, at least from the offense. You know, from a defensive standpoint, maybe that's a little different. But from an offensive standpoint, you wanted to put this thing out of reach. You did not want the Jets hanging around. So from an offensive standpoint, I think they were looking to lengthen it out a little bit more. Your goal as an offense isn't to be in a tight game and eke it out. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to take your feedback there. We'll go around the AFC East and also head back to the podium. Hear from Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork. That's coming up next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of Americard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football. and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
This one will come actually from 43 yards out. Far side hash mark, angle to the right. Aiken to snap, Mesko to hold. It all hangs right here. Set to go. Snap, ball down, kick up. Kick is on the way. Kick is good. Whew. Had to hold our breath on that one.
Gil Santos, Scott Zolak on the Patriots Radio Network with the call of Stephen Gostkowski's game-tying field goal in regulation that knotted things at 26 apiece between the Patriots and Jets. Patriots would go on to win it in overtime by a score of 29-26. They moved to 4-3 overall on the season. And something you got to start tracking, by the way, just looking at, is your record within the division. Patriots not only moved to 4-3 and now have the lead, but in the division, they're 2-0. Every other team has at least a loss. You handed the Jets their first. Miami's 0-1. Bills are 0-2, including with a loss to you. So Patriots do create some separation within the division, which bears monitoring. We'll get to around the AFCs coming up momentarily here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Here's how you get in touch. 508-543. Check that, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. I think Patriots fans are a little mixed on Devin McCourty. Like, we've had a few callers say, well, I like him better at safety, which I guess really still is an indictment on McCourty. But, well, I like him better at safety. I like him better there than at cornerback. He seems more competitive. I've heard this theory before. He just sees things better back there. He doesn't need to turn and find the football. You know, he's already facing the line of scrimmage. He can locate it. I've heard that theory before, and I've lent it credence in the past. I thought he was a step late getting over the top today as a safety. And I thought we saw some of that last year when he was there as well. Now, all the safeties the Patriots have trotted out there have been late getting over. So is he more competitive than Chung and Gregory? I'd still like to see those guys back there with Wilson mixing in sub-packages, Tavon Wilson. I'd still like to see those three at safety. And now I'd like to see a rotation of Dennard, McCourty, and Dowling at corner. When healthy, that's what I'd like to see. But I did think McCourty had some interesting comments after the game. I don't know if you heard any of these, but Devin McCourty asked to sum up the positives and negatives from his kickoff returns in this one. Remember, had a 104-yard kickoff return. It was the Patriots' first points of the game. And really did energize things, because the Jets started off after the Patriots got the ball first, and went 5 plays, 25 yards in a punt. Jets go 11 plays, 76 yards. Sean Green, 1 yard touchdown run on just an awful drive. 50 yards on 2 receptions for Jeremy Curley. Patriots only had 10 men on the field trying to stop Sean Green on that 1 yard touchdown run. So McCourty energizes things with a 104-yard kickoff return, and you're feeling pretty good about him. And the Patriots special teams, which, by the way, as an aside, had a pretty good day. 2 big kicks from Gostkowski today. You also had a decent punting day from Zoltan Mesko and a kickoff return, but Devin McCourty has just an unforgivable, inexcusable fumble that could have lost the game for you. Right around the 2-minute warning, the Jets go in front, 26-23, Patriots were able to tie it and win it at overtime from there. But McCourty was asked about the positives and negatives from his kickoff returns today. And he goes, it's not something I think I should do, and it's not something I plan on doing in terms of fumbling. Just paying more attention and securing the ball better. I can't let those other 10 guys that are out there working hard to make some blocks, whether it's a score or not, I just can't let the ball go. I'm just sitting there hoping my teammates can help me out. And once you get back out there, you just try to step back in and do your role, not let another mistake happen. My teammates, he said after the game, you know, were the reason he got picked up. And, you know, he felt like he owed it to them after the fumble. He felt like that's who he felt worse for. In other words, they saved him in this game today, his teammates, for getting the forced fumble in overtime, be it Cunningham and Ninkovich or Stephen Gostkowski kicking the game-winning field goals. Exactly. T.O. knows. Or Tom Brady leading that drive to tie things up, finding Gronkowski a couple of times, finding Woodhead a couple of times. you know, even looking for Lloyd down the field, even though it didn't connect. So that's what McCourty's saying after the game. You know, basically saved him from being the GOAT. He was still on my bad list. Didn't completely save you, Devin. But look, I do think it was a mixed bag for him in the kickoff return game. Like, I'll take the spark we saw. You just can't have that fumble. You just can't have it at that point in the game. And speaking of his teammates, one of Devin McCourty's teammates on the defense, Vince Wilfork, spoke at the podium following the team's 29-26 win over the Jets.
You know, anytime you play a division game, it's tough, especially with the Jets. You know, I mean, they're just a tough, tough bunch, you know. Looking at them on film, you could just tell each week they're starting to get back to do what they do best, play the way they want to play. And we saw it tonight. You know, they came out. They took a few shots, but, you know, they basically took what we gave them. Made some plays, and we knew what type of game it was going to be. So our main job was to get out of this game with a W. I don't care how we get it. Get a W. Like I said, a division game. You can't be pissed off at how you won, you know, the things you've done. I think it was a great team win. I mean, it showed a lot, you know, from these New England Patriots, you know, just fighting in overtime, you know, guys banged up, guys tired. Offense going out, putting a drive together, defense taking the field and ending the game on them, you know, a sack, fumble. I mean, that was good football. I think we played better situational football this week, not like last week, you know, when we just fell down the crack. I think we were prepared. I think we practiced well. And I think guys understood how we wanted to play this game. And we played it the way we wanted to play it. Yeah, tired. This, like I said, this was a tough physical football game from both sides.
It looked like on that play you were blocked and it just refused to stop.
No, yeah.
Are you conscious of thinking something at that point?
Well, you know what, Bill, you know, getting in overtime, you know, Bill came to us and said, we're going to need the rush. We're going to need the rush. And I think everybody on that defensive line or whoever was a part of our, you know, pass rushing unit, I think we all understood that, you know, we had to get after it, you know, nonstop. And I was doubling on that play, but I just tried to keep the wheels turning, you know, because just in the back of my mind, knowing how important it is to get out, get off the field and try to win this ball game, because, you know, offense put us in good, you know, a good spot with going down, kicking the field goal. So, you know, put us ahead. We know if we got to stop, the game would be over. And I think the guys responded well. You know, they responded well. And you know what? That's what it's going to take. Sometimes you play this game and you want to blow people out, you know, but it's not like that all the time. You know, it's like I said, a division game. They knowing us, we knowing them, mixing in a few wrinkles. But, you know, when the game's on the line, you're going to go to your best stuff. You're going to go to your best players. And I think we understood that. The Jets understood that. So we just, at the end of the day, we just made a little bit more plays than those guys. I mean, I just took it as coaching. You know, I don't think it's any guy that was over didn't understood and understood that, you know, without that, without him saying that, we knew what we had to do. From everywhere on the line, you know, we knew we had to rush up front. We knew we had to cover back deep. We knew whatever they give us, we had to play some good football, fundamentally sound football. And we know if we just, you know, get back to fundamentals and play technique, it's going to lead us to plays, and which it did. You know, Cunningham coming up the middle and Rob coming outside. You know what those. They put that rush together, you know. We always say when you have a one-on-one, you have to make it work. And I think those guys did a hell of a job that last play to making it work. We came out with a sack fumble in the game. So, you know what? They work hard. They deserved it.
Sack was one of the number of long 20-plus pass plays that went on third down. How is it possible for you as a captain when those plays happen? To hear the crowd groan, know that they're starting to move the change downfield, and not get pissed off.
No, you know what? We really don't pay no attention, to be honest with you. for the most part, I think our guys, they came to work today. They understood. You know, we got a lot of holding penalties, but what that tells me is they was getting their hands on the receivers. They was trying to be physical with the receivers. So, you know, you can always look at the film and play better technique, but I was proud, you know, to actually see these guys get their hands on balls, get their hands on the receivers, make a few plays in critical situations. You know, it never was perfect. You know, you never play a perfect football game. But at the end of the day, we made more plays to win the ball game. And that's the only thing that matters right now. Thank you.
All right, Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork following his team's 3-point win in overtime over the New York Jets, 29-26. Pats move to 4-3 overall. They are now 2-0 and atop the AFC East. Sun Life Patriots post-game show, Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. Let's check some of the emails rolling into web radio at Patriots.com. So our buddy Keith writes in, Adam, well, I thought the Patriots needed to win this type of game so that they could gain confidence on both sides of the ball. I know as fans were spoiled, and we want the Patriots to dominate every game on both sides, but in reality, if that had happened this week, it would completely mask the issues, rather, we have on both sides of the ball. This game was exactly like the three losses the Patriots had earlier this season. And what we should be proud of as Patriots fans is that they battled and finally came up with a win. He also says, I didn't hear the good, the bad, and the injured. So we'll have to follow up on that. I'll give it to you real quick. Good list. Cunningham, Ninkovich for their play at the end of the game. Gronkowski and also Gostkowski for being able to kick the game-tying field goal and also the go-ahead kick in overtime. I also had McCourty for his fumble, not for a secondary play. Brandon Lloyd and the Patriots' lack of a killer instinct in the first half on the bad list and the injuries. The significant one was Connolly, who didn't return. Dowling and Trevor Scott didn't return, and Mayo had that elbow injury and did return. So there's an abbreviated good, bad, and injured. Casey missed it earlier in the program. On whether we learn more about the Patriots or whatever it is in a tight game, I think offensively you do. Defensively, I know they had that walk-off play, as I said, in overtime, and I guess you can count that as a stop. But remember, when they really needed a stop, and I'm not talking about the short field after the McCourty fumble, because really that's the defense sort of holding. That's forcing a field goal instead of a touchdown. But the drives before that, 14 plays, 92 yards for the Jets to come back within three, 6 plays, 40 yards to tie it. And part of that was being bailed out. Stephen Hill had a killer drop on 3rd-and-3, so I don't know how much of that is a stop. But that's sort of how I look at it. It's like I would still feel overall not good about the defense, but better than I did after the Seattle game. And I think you certainly have to feel better about the offense closing things out. At least they did it in this game. Maybe it wasn't when you wanted them to do it with 5 minutes left and up 3, but they were able to tie the game and then win it in overtime. So I do think you have to be encouraged about the offense in a key spot, which so many people were critical about over the course of the week. I know Keith is one of those listeners who was concerned about it, and it sounds like some of those concerns, at least for a week, are a bit alleviated. Also, the emails to webradio@patriots.com, and we will do around the AFCs coming up here in just a couple of moments. Just wanted to get to this email from Henry, writing in from North Carolina. Adam, of course, I'm happy with the win, but it's tempered. The Patriots have a problem on offense, and it's Josh McDaniels. The offense was a lot better, and it's not even close when Bill O'Brien was running it. And I'll have a thought on that coming up in a few. I actually think he's hampered Brady, he being McDaniels. It seems like Brady was running the offense more under O'Brien. The offense has become a little too gimmicky, predictable, and there's no continuity to the play calling. Also, anytime they have any kind of lead in the second half, Josh gets very conservative and starts running the football. I saw McDaniels talking to Brady more times tonight than I remember O'Brien doing all of last year. Maybe I'm misstating because I have no idea what they're talking about, but it seems like he's overcoaching Brady. Just let him play. And one more thing. I've emailed about this before. Why is it teams like the Packers, Saints, Giants, even the Broncos and Bengals have wide receivers that can separate running towards the end zone? I never see the Patriots wide receivers getting any kind of separation. Wide receivers, I agree with. I think Gronkowski, when he's healthy, and maybe he's getting healthier, though I still don't think he looked like 100% out there today. I think he's one that can, and I understand you said wide receivers, but I think that's a receiver who can do it. I think we've seen Lloyd create separation as well. Now, the hands and being on the same page with Brady, we haven't always seen that, but I do think we've seen him at times create separation. But you're right. Some of the teams you're talking about, do they have Jordy Nelsons and Greg Jennings who can separate? Like in Green Bay? No. I don't really know that the Saints have those type of receivers, to be honest. But certainly I'm watching the Bengals game right now. AJ Green can separate. You know, he's one of those talents, freakish athletes like a Calvin Johnson, but you got to draft those guys in the top five. You know, I do think there's something in common with some of those type of athletes. Now, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, those are different. Second round pick in Jennings' case, and Nelson was later than that. So I think that's part of the issue, is where you take these guys. And some of the players the Patriots have targeted as receivers early haven't worked out. And the Patriots aren't drafting in A.J. Green, Calvin Johnson territory. But you can find those explosive guys further down in the draft. We cited a couple just in this game. I know he's not playing well, but Mike Wallace is another one of those guys who was later on further down the draft who certainly creates separation. 508-298-0398. CA's Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We've run through a lot of your feedback here. We've also talked about the Patriots starting to create a little bit of separation in the division. Let's look at how the rest of the division fared in around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
You know how the Jets fared, and we'll get to them momentarily, but the other big game in the division today, the Buffalo Bills were up on the Tennessee Titans, a team that you've seen.
What do you mean the only, excuse me, it's been a long day. The other big game. It was the only game.
Yeah, that's what I said. The only other big game in the division.
You said big game. Come on.
The only other big game in the division.
It was Buffalo and Tennessee.
Yeah, but if Buffalo's 4-3, then all you're tied for first.
Okay, was
big in that.
Jones.
Big in that they fall back to the pack.
Jones-tradamus knows all.
By the way, just real quick, I said this a couple of times during the week. Kind of a blah NFL weekend. Like, this is one of the games. This was one of them. Patriots-Jets that I look forward to.
Totally agree.
That was Kevin, by the way.
Totally
if you're hearing that on your radio.
The headphones
that
came off.
That was Kevin's headphones
I was so
smashing
upset.
Into his microphone.
I was so upset at the NFL slate of games this week, I just spiked my headphones.
Just like to point out that was Kevin
Gronk,
making all that noise.
Gronk spiked my headphones. Had enough of these headphones.
But the Pats-Jets games was one of the good ones in actuality. Texans and Ravens was one that I thought would be good. Same thing with Giants and Redskins, which actually worked out to be good.
Yeah.
Rest of the weekend, take it or leave it.
I think
the Sunday night game's okay and the Monday night game's okay. Blah, NFL weekend,
You made an excellent point, though, on the pregame show. I had no clue that there were only 2 4 o'clock games. No clue.
Yeah, it's because of the NLCS.
Yeah, and I had no idea, so thank you for enlightening
me. Yeah.
Dropping knowledge.
And both 4 o'clock games went to overtime.
I just got Jones.
Pats and the Jags and Raiders as well. But anyway, focusing in, my point is that there weren't a lot of big games today. So let's weasel in Bills and Titans for that one. And the Bills were up in this one with a chance to move a game over 500, keep pace with the Patriots in the division. And Patriots fans have seen that Titans team. It ain't much to write home about. You saw with a different quarterback, Jake Locker, Matt Hasselbeck, the quarterback for the Titans today. He had a 15-yard game-winning strike on 4th and 9 to Nate Washington. As they pull out a 35-34 win over the Buffalo Bills at home in Tennessee. Bills dropped to 3-4 in gut-wrenching fashion. By the way, speaking of the McCourtys, and we've already touched on Devin earlier in the program, his brother Jason McCourty had the big pick on Ryan Fitzpatrick, his only one of the game, but it came at a crucial time for Fitzpatrick as McCourty had the pick, which set up the go-ahead score for the Titans. Coming up next for the Buffalo Bills, the bye week. Speaking of the bye week, Miami Dolphins were on a bye this week. They sit here at 3-3, and I want to see how that team comes out of the bye week. You know, I want to see, do they continue to look like a team that is trending in the right direction? They play hard for Joe Philbin, and Ryan Tannehill looks like a keeper. Or is this sort of an early season mirage? I'm curious to see how they come out of the bye week. It should be firing on all cylinders. And by the way, their next team, the team you played today, New York Jets, at MetLife Stadium. So I'm just curious to see how they respond after the bye week, because I think they've been pesky, and right now they're sort of hanging around in the division. They're 3-3. They're the next closest team, technically, to the Patriots, as they sit at 500. The other team you played today, obviously the New York Jets, their next opponent will be the Miami Dolphins. They fall to 3-4 with their loss today. Mark Sanchez, 328 through the air, 28-41, touchdown and a pick, took 4 sacks in this one. Sean Green, I thought, also ran effectively for the Jets today. Not as effective as last week, when he had 160 yards and 3 touchdowns, but 54 yards and another score on the ground. Though it only came against 10 Patriots defenders. I thought the Jets ran it okay today, to be honest. I know the yards per carry wasn't great, just over 3, but 33 and 106, I thought when they had to, especially situationally, they ran it pretty well. The one head-scratcher was that 3rd and 1 down by the goal line where they decided to pass on a slant to Chaz Schillens instead of run it with Tebow or Sean Green when they run it down the Patriots' throat that whole drive.
Yeah, I want to tee you up for something here. Okay. When you touched on Sean Green, you and I spoke at halftime, and you felt that they weren't utilizing him enough for how productive he was. Do you feel like throughout the course of the second half that improved, or did he not get enough touches?
Well, I think the Patriots made a nice adjustment on him, to be honest. I think they said he's the one guy who's doing anything, and they took him away.
And Brandon Spikes almost killed him.
Yeah, well, I mean, he knocked him out. I think Green came back for one play, and overtime he caught a pass and got hit hard again and went out. I don't know if that was just designed that he was coming out anyway or if he got dinged up again there. But, you know, I think Sean Green in the first half was one of the good things for the Jets. Patriots took him away in the second half, and you saw the Jets be a little more reliant. But that's how I felt at halftime. Honestly, looking back, I think Green had 34 yards at half, and he finished with 54 or whatever it was. I think the Patriots made somewhat of an adjustment there. But that's next up now for the Jets is the Miami Dolphins. And even at home, I wouldn't be surprised, Kevin, if the Dolphins give them somewhat of a run for their money. Somewhat of a run for their money. I think the Dolphins have looked pesky, and especially coming off a bye week. I think that's something I could hang around for. By the way, didn't even answer the question. We got a follow-up email from Jerry to webradio@patriots.com. I agree with the caller who compared McDaniels and O'Brien. McDaniels calls a horrible game. I never even followed up on the point, which is my own mistake. I just think if you listened last year or the last couple of years with Bill O'Brien as offensive coordinator, people were critical of him as well. And it's always, the grass is always greener, and you remember these guys a little better than they were. But for the 3 years or whatever it was that O'Brien was offensive coordinator, 4 years, you heard the same things. Ah, well, remember how McDaniels used to call it, and O'Brien was always criticized. And now that McDaniels is back, maybe you're seeing some of the flaws that you had forgotten about. So I think early in the season, McDaniels has some issues, and I'm still curious to see if with the Patriots and the way they're using the tight ends differently than how O'Brien used them, that's something I'm interested in. Is it just strictly the health of Gronkowski and Hernandez? And neither look 100%, particularly Hernandez. That play in the corner of the end zone that Brady, I thought, threw a good ball on, and again, I wouldn't call it a drop per se, but Hernandez had it right on his fingertips. He could have reeled it in. A healthy Aaron Hernandez catches that pass. So I think health has something to do with it. But it didn't week one and week two, at least in the case of Hernandez, before he got dinged up and knocked out of that Arizona game. So where were they in the game plan? And how does McDaniels utilize those tight ends? That's still a question I have when they're fully healthy. But in general, I think he goes with gadget plays a little bit more than Bill O'Brien. But I think he's been fine.
Just another observation, too, on Hernandez, yep, in terms of the health standpoint. I also felt like they swung it out a few times to him on either, like, you know, a wide receiver bubble screen, or tried to set him up on a play in the flat and get him in some space. It just felt like he was lacking the ability to make someone miss.
I was going to say, I think in general, yeah, that's fine with Aaron Hernandez, but yeah, if he's not healthy and he can't cut like he typically does.
I felt like he just, you know, he didn't have that extra hop in his step where he could make a cut, stick his foot in the ground, and make someone miss.
Yeah, he doesn't look totally confident in it either, which I think we can all understand. You know, you're coming back off quickly from an MCL injury. You know, I understand being, you know, a little unsure yourself. And, you know, I understand not completely trusting yourself with those quick cuts. Let's take one more email here. Webradio@patriots.com. That's where Michael writes in from Washington. Adam, the Pats pass defense has been a problem for the past few years. It was evident last year in the Super Bowl. They don't have a pass rush. They can't defend the pass. I said, I think there's been worse games out of that secondary. You know, I think Seattle was a worse game for the secondary. Russell Wilson was just tossing jump balls up in that Seattle game. At least in this one, you're forcing the Jets to work their way down the field a little bit. 15-yard outs, 18-yard outs, 20-yard outs, chunks like that, instead of 40- and 50-yard bombs to Golden Tate and Sidney Rice. So I'll take the progress where I can get it, and I think Bill Belichick has put his foot down and said, you know what, we're just not giving up those plays anymore. They're not beating us over the top. It's not going to happen. He did it last year. I think that's what we're seeing again with this Patriots defense. And next up for the Pats, St. Louis Rams in London. They dropped to 3-4 with a loss today against the Green Bay Packers. Patriots, of course, moved a game over 500, nosed right over 500 with a 29-26 overtime win over the New York Jets. See if they can carry that over into their next matchup against the St. Louis Rams a week from today. I'll talk to you on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo an hour before kickoff, and I'll also be right here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots travel across the pond to London, England to take on the St. Louis Rams. Kickoff from historic Wembley Stadium is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 10:45 a.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.